altogether we have about 12, 13 employees in the restaurant, including. And they are just each from different countries too. It's not just one country. So
right.
From my country, from Syria, and then from Iran, and then they have from from Africa side, and then 2-3 is from a different country in the Middle East.
You're listening to Seeking Refuge, a podcast sharing the human stories of refugees. Our guest for today is Ahmanullah Aziz, the current owner of Halal International in Columbia, South Carolina. Your host for today is me, Claire Mattis. Welcome everyone to the Seeking Refuge podcast. So I'm here today with Aziz. Could you introduce yourself? Tell us your full name.
My full name is Ahmanullah Aziz, and I'm from Afghanistan. Okay. I've been living here now about 20 years now. This is I came here first to Colombia as a refugee. So from here I was living 2 years, I was 2.5 years in Colombia, then moved to New York.
Okay.
That's where I carried my, I was going to high school, my college, and everything I finished in New York.
Oh, awesome. And what college did you go to in New York?
Long Island University.
Okay. What was your major in?
First of all, I had a paramedic. So I did that one. I don't like it. And changed it back to electrical engineering.
Okay. Cool, cool. And do you have like a wife and children here, or
no,
any
my, family is back home, so okay. Right here. So it's just me and my is my aunt. But basically, you know, she had no son, so my father gave me to her as adopted her. So I was grew up, she became my mom. So I don't really live with my family, like my parents. I live with her, grew up with her. So
right, okay.
So she's here. She's in New York. So it's
okay. So you said she's in New York?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. How old were you when you came here from Afghanistan?
I was 14 years old.
Okay, and you said you had like a refugee status,
yes.
Right? Okay, and how was that process? Did you apply?
We had to apply, and that was the time when the Taliban came in 1995 or 1992.
Mm-hmm.
The first time when they came there, and that's where we are getting refugees to went to Pakistan. That's where we applied through UNHCR, the United Nations and High Commission, the office. So applied there, refugee status, and it took us about 3 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
3 years. All right. Yeah, we're doing another episode. I have a professor who's doing the general context of Afghan refugees going to Pakistan. So I was hoping this episode plus hers would give our viewers a good understanding. Mm-hmm. And you said you moved straight to Colombia.
Mm-hmm.
Was it a welcoming place at the time?
It was a welcoming place too, but mostly the people who sponsor us, that was here, so in Colombia.
Okay.
So it was the church, St. Andrew Baptist Church, right across from us, right here.
Oh, okay.
St. Andrew Baptist Church, they were the one who sponsored us, so that's why we came here to Colombia.
Right,
and,
makes sense.
Here, when we come here, of course, it's going to be a big different culture and language, and I come here and don't understand no language, nothing. So, in that time, there was no one else from our country who can speak Spanish, or the only one.
Oh, wow.
So,
that would be really lonely.
No,
like,
the good thing was, for me, was good because I speak the other languages too. Hindi, mm-hmm. was from India and Pakistan.
Okay.
I speak the language too, so that kind of helped me because there was had a community of those who were larger here.
Right.
So I had to communicate with them, so that was better for me. Then.
So that is, did you just learn English through like school?
School had an ASL, so started at sixth grade, seventh and eighth grade. Like in 3 months.
Wow.
And then it was the holidays, summer and winter, middle tech.
Mm-hmm.
College, they were doing ASL classes for regular students, but they just allowed me to come there just to learn.
That's
so
awesome.
I was going there every morning from 9 o'clock there, just 3.5 hours of the class, and then from there I was going to go to the library, sitting there till 5 o'clock, just reading, writing, tourists, like people over there helping.
Me.
Wow. So, like in 3 months, so I came back when school started, high school, I went to 9th grade, so I already knew how to speak English.
That's good. That would make school a little easier if you knew English. Now, did you open this business or did you just start working here?
No, I just bought it.
Do you know the original owners, where they were from?
They're from Palestine.
Okay, awesome. And why did they sell it? Were they just needing?
They have another store, 2 business in North Carolina.
Oh, what's their business called?
Same thing.
Oh, this is it. And it's...
Yeah. So he opened this one. He had that one first, and then he opened this one in 2013.
Okay.
And I did some of the electrical work for them here too at that time.
Okay, that makes sense.
So he opened this place, and him and his brother's family just were running it, but I don't know, some he couldn't get here. It was too much for him, and he just wanted to set it out because going back and forth for him was too much. He sold it to another guy who was from Algeria. He's out of Conchito, and then he had not had it for 2 years, and then I bought it from him in 2020.
Okay.
Before the corona started.
I was going to ask about how that, I mean, if you bought it right before, that must have been difficult.
No, it kind of worked out a little better for us because the fourth and the world part that we're studying here, you cannot get anywhere else.
Right.
Yeah. So that's why kind of the people in Norway can't shut down, so they were coming for four things and coming over here. So it helped us.
Okay.
It was good, and it didn't affect us at all.
That's interesting.
But only except price going up, that's it.
Right. Yeah, that would definitely be different. That's kind of what I was going to ask about the community here. So, like you said, this place, like, you have food that people can't get halal food everywhere. Do you have a pretty large community now here?
Yeah, it is now. But compared to back in 2002 and now, it's like almost 60-70% grow.
Wow. I'm assuming very diverse, not just from Afghanistan.
Diverse. There's Afghanistan, Malaysia, Indonesia, Pakistan. India, they have two Arab, all Middle East countries.
Yeah.
So they have here two European countries also.
Briefly, I meant to include this. Can you explain what halal means for our viewers, if they don't know?
Halal is the word, it says like, use this one more for the meat stuff, we're buying it.
Mm-hmm.
So when we, this in a certain way, we slaughter them, the animal, you know, to make sure it's this. We slaughter with hand slaughter. And then you cut it through, it goes to all the veins to be cut and clean, so all the blood needs to be dripped out, so when they hang out.
Oh, okay.
So, and they say some kind of prayers also when they're cutting it.
Right.
It's a hair slaughter, not just they do hair like American, they just swing the hair thing and this is it.
Right. No. Yeah, it's more involved.
So that's why the meat is, the meat and other things, and plus also we don't use pork.
Mm-hmm.
Any kind of gelatin that's pork, that's also come part of halal too.
Right.
So there's no pork in there, there's another no oil, anything that's made from pork or anything or gelatin, so we don't use that.
Okay, that makes sense. I recognize the berry candies over there because my friends in Charlotte actually owned a similar candy shop, and I was like, oh, I love this candy, but I never see it anywhere.
So. And also the kosher and halal is kind of similar thing.
Right.
Kosher is more from Israel, like you. Jewish people, they the one.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same process that what we do here. So
oh,
if
right.
we have kosher, we eat that too, and then it's the halal. That's the two things they have.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Thank you for explaining that. If you could describe some of the products you carry, like where you get them from, how that process
works. We have most of the products we have, for example, is dairy products, cheese. We have maybe about 30-40 different kinds of cheese. There's more than that too, but specific that we...
Because you have a huge selection. Yeah, I've looked around.
The more a customer they're looking for, that's why we're just getting here. It's from European, like Turkey, Germany, Greeks, and it comes from Middle Eastern countries, which just comes in Yemen, Lebanon, Dubai, all those countries in there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably from that. It comes from there.
Right.
So you process that, it comes from there, and then... You have distributors here that we get it from them. And also the same thing, the food-wise, all kind of peas that we have or canned food I have, is all made it from overseas.
Okay.
So that's do we put a halal international in here? Because everything that we have here is from Africa, continental, to South America, Europe, Asia, all these countries come combine everything we have here.
Everywhere,
so,
yeah.
From all the countries, our customers also, you know, just diverse people, not just specific people from here. It's all different countries people that comes here too.
Right, cool.
So we have all the product that we have is just for all the people that come from each country, we have something for them.
Makes it very open to different groups. Cool. I wanted to ask if, you know, there's certain ingredients or products that you get from Afghanistan or that are used in foods from your country?
Yeah, we have it, we get more of dry fruit, like raisins, almond, pistachio, stuff like that one. We get those things, and some of the seasoning else that we use here in the restaurant too.
Okay, that's what I...
So
the restaurant is also owned by you?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. They seem connected, so I assume so.
So most of the seasoning we use in here is from Afghanistan too. All the ingredients that we use here, things they mixing fresh, that like you make your own.
Mm-hmm.
So we have someone that's already pre-made, and we have something that you can make it over here. Just check all the ingredients, like cloves, cinnamon, or things, whatever you want to make seasoning.
Right.
You take the whole thing, and then you grind it yourself at home.
Okay,
so
cool.
We have that one too. If you have a pre-made, that's already there. Just come ready to go. Just
right.
Take that one also.
Is there any specific meal that you like really enjoy that people typically make with?
There's gonna be kebabs. It's using the fresh meat and also putting it on the grill. So it tastes really good on that one too. And also from our country, is the Afghanistan is the one that's kabuli palo. Is a really famous dish.
What was that called?
Kabuli palo. Yeah, that's a famous dish. It was a rice, and then you have a meat, a lamb. That one you can put a beef with actually, depends on how you want it.
Right.
And then you have a mix with the raisins, carrots, and all the almonds and stuff inside it to assure it's done.
Oh, that sounds really good. Yeah, we do like to also, sometimes we do focuses on food or recipes, because I don't know if you've been to Clarkston, Georgia. They have a lot of...
So
we like go get the food from there. But yeah, reminds me of that.
That's from Turkey, no?
It's a lot of different countries in Clarkston. So there's like...
Because there's one of the Turkey restaurants from Turkey that they were coming here buying stuff from me over there.
So your staff, do you have like a pretty large staff? I noticed I kind of see some of the same people few times I've been in here. Is it family run or is it?
No, it's not a family run thing. It's just because us, me and my brother things, you know. And then the other guys, I have about five employees on that side.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have 3-4 on this side.
So three in the restaurant.
So altogether we have about 12-13 employees in the restaurant, including. And then they're all just each from different countries too. It's not just one country. It's
right.
From my country, from Syria, and then from Iran, and then I have from they were from Africa side, and then 2-3 is from a different country of the Middle East.
Okay.
So.
It's a very diverse staff.
And I had one guy's from Turkey too, so the language is also speaking. So if somebody comes in who doesn't speak English, and his language is Arabic, so we have someone that can speak Arabic, help him out. And then we have someone who speaks Turkish or German or other things, we have someone that can help him with that language.
That's amazing.
So that's why I kept everything diverse too, so just make sure. I don't speak Arabic.
Okay.
So if somebody asks me questions, things that I don't know how to help them, you don't know English either. So I have an employee there who can help them with that, make it easy for them.
Right. No, I think that's really important for a really like diverse business. So that's awesome. Is there any really commonly sold products or something you're known for here, at least from your clients?
More the meat.
The meat.
Meat is our priority thing for that.
Cool.
This sells a lot, and the second is dairy products.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. I think that's all the questions I have. So thank you so much. Is there anything you want to add or any kind of advertisement, like thing to advertise about your business that the community should know?
The community just wanted to have, a lot of people, they don't know about us still until now. Like
right.
Here. So every day we're getting about 2-3 new customers. They know. They say, you just open new year. No, we're like almost 12-13, about 11 years now. Open place, and they can surprise. So this is kind of a little bit helping those people who don't want to think about us, things that.
Yeah.
So especially there's a lot of students. They come from different countries. They're students to the USC.
Yeah.
So from Arab countries, things come from countries who don't know. And you think that has a lot of stuff here. So for them, it's better something.
That's good to know. Yeah, we have a lot of. I lived at the International House at USC, so I know there's a lot of people looking for that. So good, yeah. We'll definitely share this and make sure more people know about y'all.
Okay.
But that's everything then. So thanks.
That was Aziz from Halal International talking to us about what it's like running a refugee-owned business. If you like this episode, be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and review us in the comments below. If you'd like to get in touch with us, email us at seekingrefugepodcast@gmail.com. or at our University of South Carolina email address, sosrpa@mailbox.sc.edu. You can find us on social media at Refuge Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. This show is produced by undergraduate students at the University of South Carolina. Your host for this week was Claire Mattis. This episode was edited by Diana Clark and produced by Shireen Carr. And our executive producers are Claire Mattis and Victoria Halsey. As always, thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you in the next one.